even though some Pacific Island countries like Samoa and Tonga are yet to report a case of COVID-19, it doesn't mean that Pacific Islanders are immune to the virus. In fact, according to new data from the US, Pacific Islanders and native Hawaiians living in the United States have an infection rate 2 to 3 times the average in at least 4 American states. For example, statistics in the state of Oregon show Pacific Islanders nearly triple the average, while Salt Lake County in Utah, which lots of islanders call home because it's the headquarters of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is double the state COVID-19 average. Dr. Reino Sarmor is an endocrinologist based in California and is leading a team of Pacific Islander researchers, healthcare providers, community leaders and faith leaders in developing and implementing a plan of action to slow the spread of COVID-19 and support those who are already affected. Dr. Sarmor spoke to Talia Olatia about the findings from the US and how they might translate to the Pacific at large.
What we were finding was a trend that all these different areas were reporting that Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders had the highest or near the highest rates of COVID-19 disease. And many of them were reporting either the highest hospitalization rates among any of the groups, or they were reporting the highest death rate.
Why is the Pacifica rate so high, especially like when you look around the Pacific and you see countries like Samoa and Tonga not actually having any COVID-19 cases? So what is it that is making the Pacifica people in the US particularly vulnerable?
That's a question we're still trying to answer, as there are numerous reasons for this vulnerability. One is that there's a high percentage of our population that are in the classification we call essential workers. You know, and in the United States, you know, Pacific peoples are overrepresented in certain occupational categories, such as security, food service, working in nursing home facilities. And so all of these can increase the risk of contracting COVID-19. The predisposition to mortality from COVID-19 seems to come from having these pre-existing chronic conditions, which run rampant in our people. So the highest rates of diabetes are reported in Pacific Islanders. In subgroups of Pacific Islanders, there are really high rates of advanced stage cancers, such as advanced breast cancer, advanced colon cancer. And so all of these pre-existing conditions have been suggested to increase the chance of death when afflicted with COVID-19.
So I guess the big question is what do Pacifica people have to do to better protect themselves and support themselves, not just in the US, but also across the Pacific? Because a lot of the things that you described, which are, you know, risk factors to Pacifica people in the US, are very similar to Pacifica people like across the region as well.
Yes, yes, we're very aware of that. The ways we can prevent it, there's many different levels that we can protect ourselves. One is adhere to the current recommendary precautions that includes, you know, frequent hand washing, social distancing. It is a very difficult time for Pacific people. And so I somewhat speak from experience. You know, I was diagnosed with COVID-19 as well. And so not just someone leading the fight, I'm actually a statistic. Because I'm a essential workers too. I'm a healthcare worker. So I have to wash my hands when I come home. I have to change my clothes just to make sure that I don't bring the disease and transmit it to my loved ones. Some of the other things that we had to do was that when immediately had symptoms, I had to isolate myself. When you're having symptoms such as congestion, sore throat, fever, headache, muscle aches, that's the time when you want to start self-quarantining yourself and isolate yourself as much as you can, because I know some of the issues we have is that we live in multi-generational homes. And so that is difficult. And as Pacific people, not having contact with each other is almost a tearing of our cultural fabric. Is a reformation of our cultural identity that's brought on by COVID. And so we have to find ways to connect with each other outside of gathering in large groups. And so all of these things from an individual standpoint can help protect you. Now, at the community level, there are things that communities can push for because there are successful models out there. There are countries that are winning the war on this pandemic, and many of the initiatives that have been brought on or sort of demonstrated by these countries can be implemented in one's public health policy. And so frequent testing, diagnostic testing, as well as pushing for resources such as safe places to quarantine. It is not effective to tell people to isolate and self-quarantine in a very crowded house. So resources need to be made available for these families to be safely put to recover. And so we're talking about patients who are sick, but do not meet criteria to be hospitalized. Luckily, in some of the places that our people reside, especially in the Pacific, such as New Zealand, they have a lot of these measures in place. And unfortunately, in other places where we reside, such as the U.S., not so readily available. And so the call is to fight for these things because these numbers are not acceptable.
And finally, with your own positive diagnosis, how are you going?
I'm well. I'm doing pretty well. And I know I'm blessed to do so. And so my fight is for those that are not. Yeah. And those families that have just been ripped apart by this disease, you know. And so I don't tend to be very public with my personal health, but it was very important for me to be able to vocalize that this is happening in our community, that this is not a hoax, that this is real. And in doing so, community that have reached out, all reporting stories that are heartbreaking, you know, like families who've had to send their family members to motels to recover. You know, and that's the least specific thing that one can do, is to send your family away during a time of illness. And that has been one of the most striking things about this pandemic, because Pacific people, we will show up in the groves just for someone with a sore throat. So it is completely alien to us to not have any communication with our family member that's fighting for their life.
That was endocrinologist Dr. Reino Sarmor from the City of Hope National Medical Center in Los Angeles, California, speaking there to Talia Olatia.